Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 278, the stanzas 1, 4, and 5. The tender love a father has for all his children dear, such love the Lord bestows on them who worship him in fear. And what follows, Psalter 278, the stanzas 1, 4, and 5. Portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in John 3, the verses 1 through 21. The first 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John 3, the first 21 verses. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. As so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, and neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Thus far the scripture reading. We announce that Victoria Denbuck was privileged to return home from the hospital in this afternoon. Let us try to ask the Lord for his blessing. Lord, it is for the second time on this holy day of rest that we and our children may have the opportunity to come to thy house and to place ourselves under thy word and eternal testimony. And, Lord, thou knowest how poor we are of self, but that thou art such a great and such a rich God. The psalmist of old has declared, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and delivered him out of all his troubles. May it please thee to be a prayer giving, a prayer hearing, and a prayer answering God, that it may please thee in this hour, that thy word may be blessed to the hearts of young and old. We have heard out of thy holy word what is so necessary and indispensable, because thou hast said unto Nicodemus, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Lord, we humbly ask thee that thy holy word may be blessed to that end in this hour, that sons and daughters, that they may be born in Zion. But we have also heard what is further necessary, because as Moses has lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, as so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him have eternal life. Bless thy word concerning those further leadings, because sin, thy justice, needs to be satisfied. Then thou hast given thy only begotten Son, that a church may and must be saved, May the prayers be multiplied, that we and our children may be included in that number, humbly begging of Thee for a richer outpouring of Thy Holy Spirit upon young and old, because it is written in Thy Word that the light has come into the world, but the darkness comprehended it not. Lord, to that end, bless the manifold means of grace in the church. Wilt thou help the consistory to that end? Grant many errands and hers. Bless thy holy word in the family circles. Bless thy word in our Christian school. Wilt thou remember our denomination? Wilt thou remember our classes also in this week? And then our classes hopes together. Wilt thou grant traveling mercies? Wilt thou help thy servant to go before us in a prayer service? Remember him who shall be called upon to chair the meeting. Wilt thou also remember thy servant that is requesting emeritus status on account of difficulties of the mind? We commend them unto thee. In the climbing of his years together with his dear wife, and if it may please thee, that he may still perform some labors, in so far that it is possible, in the midst of thy church. Wilt thou remember mission work, our mission field? Wilt thou remember thy servants and the team? Remember in this week when a brother elder, together with the administrator, hope to go to our mission field for a deputy visit. Wilt thou bring safely to and fro? Wilt thou help with the many meetings, the many visits that have been planned? May they be given to see not only that everything may go decently and in order, but that they may be given to hear and witness the work of free and sovereign grace in the hearts of sinners. Wilt thou remember the persecuted church? Wilt thou remember the Jewish people? Wilt thou remember our nation? Oh, all so much room for mission work in this nation, in this province, in the community, where there are so many that have strayed away, wandered from thy truth and from thy holy word. And what maketh us and our children to differ? And surely, Lord, it is for that holy purpose, for the ingathering of thy church, the glory of thy name, thou hast promised to work from generation to generation. We may acknowledge thee that in this day a young daughter was privileged to return home from the hospital. May it please thee to grant further healing, further strengthening. Wilt thou grant humble and broken hearts, and above all things, may the calling be sanctified. Remember all the sick and afflicted. We commend unto thee all the elderly ones, and, O Lord, do remember the mourning ones. widowers, widows, orphans, those who have brought children and other dear ones to the cemetery, continue to uphold them. May the callings be sanctified. Wilt thou remember the handicapped ones? Bless the family circles. May love abound. May thy word have authority, and word is different, Lord. May it please thee to grant repentance. We remember prodigal sons and prodigal daughters. Lord, may our eyes be upon thee in this evening hour. Graciously grant thy help, a little liberty, a little freedom, a little strength, love and courage, and that the labors may be richly blessed. Wilt also go from row to row, from heart to heart. Wilt thou visit the dwellings where there are those who may listen along and teach us more and more how dependent we are upon thee for everything. Ah, grant more that tender, that close life, the exercises with the coming of thy kingdom, the glory of thy name. Wilt thou bless all that awaits thy blessing? Wilt thou pardon us of all of our sins? In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 4, the 5 stanzas. Oh, wherefore do the nations rage, and kings and rulers strive in vain against the Lord of earth and heaven to overthrow Messiah's reign? And what follows, Psalter 4, the 5 stanzas. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 13, the question and answers 33 and 34. Question 33, why is Christ called the only begotten Son of God, since we are also the children of God? Answer, because Christ alone is the eternal and natural Son of God, but we are children adopted of God by grace for His sake. Question 34, wherefore callest thou Him our Lord? Answer, because He hath redeemed us, both soul and body, from all our sins, not with gold or silver, but with His precious blood, and hath delivered us from all the power of the devil, and thus hath made us His own property. Lord's Day 13 speaks of faith in the only begotten Son, our Lord. Three thoughts. First, the natural Son of God. Secondly, the adopted children of God. And thirdly, the ruled children of God. Faith in the only begotten Son, our Lord, the natural Son of God, the adopted children of God, and the ruled children of God. Beloved congregation, Lord's Day number 13 speaks of the second half of the second article of the 12 articles. And then the mediator must be known. The little children maybe cannot all remember those ways, but if I tell you different times and your parents explain it, then you can remember it. Then the mediator must be known in His names, His natures, His offices, His states, and His benefits. And necessary to know with our mind, more necessary to experience in our heart. And now we have already considered two names of the mediator. And children, you can remember what a mediator is. That is one who brings two parties that are so far apart to bring them together. And concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, then it is a holy and a righteous God on the one hand, and a poor, condemnable sinner on the other hand. And then we have heard of the name of Jesus, that means Savior, because He has come to save His people from their sins. The last Lord's Day, number 12, has spoken of the name Christ, that means anointed, and He has been anointed. So we have also considered the three offices, anointed to be prophet, priest, and king. And now on this Lord's Day, And then this Lord's Day speaks of two further names, the only begotten Son of God, our Lord. And then this Lord's Day also speaks of the divine nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now the first question that is asked, how can it be? Because Christ, boys and girls, Christ is called the only begotten Son of God. And that word only, that means singular. That means there is only one Son. And yet in the Bible, the true people of God, they are also called the children of God. And then our first point, children, is not so easy, but if you try to listen well, then maybe you can even explain it to your parents. And now concerning the divine nature of the mediator, the need thereof, we have heard thereof in Lord's Day number 6. And the Lord has a people upon the earth that learns that he need a great Savior, as we read in Isaiah 59 verse 20. He shall send them a Savior and a great one, and he shall deliver them. When we consider the scriptures, how that fallen man is described, Ephesians 2, dead in sins and trespasses. Psalm 40, the second verse, where the psalmist was given to confess, to exclaim, he brought me also out of that horrible pit, out of that miry clay. Ah, that is a people that learns that they cannot save themselves, that they sink further and further in that miry clay. In Ezekiel 37, a valley of dead bones, thus the Lord has a people that learns that they need a great, a mighty, a merciful Savior. And to that end, the Savior had to be divine. In the first place, to sustain his human nature, bearing the wrath of God, because no human nature can bear that wrath. In the second place, to be enabled in a short time, in the way of suffering and death, to satisfy the justice of his Father, and to give an infinite merit to that suffering, to that satisfaction. In the third place, to be divine, that he would rise again the third day as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and from the right hand of the Father, from thence he would gather and defend that church, apply unto his chosen church what he has merited. And then the answer upon that question, why is Christ called the only begotten Son of God, since we are also the children of God? That already raises a question. Because the instructor may say, since we also are the children of God, we included in that we congregation, has that become our concern? Because by nature, then we are not children of God. Christ has even said in John 8 verse 44 to the Jews, that their father was the devil. Thus already that question that should raise an examination in each of our hearts, whether the Lord has now begun that good work we have heard out of John 3, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And then the answer, because Christ alone is the eternal and natural Son of God. Thus Christ, he was from eternity in Proverbs 8 verse 23, it is declared that he was set up from everlasting before the world was. Then he is the second person in the divine Trinity, co-essential and co-eternal. That means that Christ, as the second person of the divine essence, that all the attributes of the essence, both communicable and incommunicable. Our young people know what that means. That they are also possessed by the Son. And now concerning, because Christ alone is the eternal and natural Son of God, then already in the early church, then there have been those that have questioned the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ in the year 318 in the city of Alexandria, that is a city on the northern coast of Egypt. Then there has arisen a great controversy. The bishop, the minister, was Alexander, and in that consistory there was a deacon by the name Arius, and later he became elder. And at Arius he is taught that Christ was not from eternity, but that he was the firstborn creature. That means that he was not truly divine. And if that was true, then he could not save sinners. And that controversy that is spread throughout the church, and Constantine the Great, he has heard of it. And then he has sent a royal messenger asking those men concerning the controversy. And that messenger realized that it concerned an article of faith, and to that end, Constantine the Great, then he has called for a synod in Nicaea in 325, 318 were present, and then they have considered what was the truth found in the scriptures concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that Arius, he had trouble with that term begotten. He understood it too naturally. Because when we speak of beginning, then we think of parents and children. And then the parents are there before the children. But alas, Arius did not thoroughly study the whole scriptures, where it is clearly declared that the Son, co-eternal and co-essential with the Father and with the Holy Ghost, of the end was of that council, there was a young deacon by the name of Athanasius, a fiery character, a fiery man, and he was given to finally stand up and declare, based upon the Holy Scriptures, that Christ was from eternity, the eternal and natural Son of God. And so a statement was made. All had to sign. Arius refused. He was banished. All much has taken place. Families, then you can read it in the church history. Athanasius was banished 5 times. He died in 373. And in 381, the Council of Constantinople is gathered to further consider this doctrine. And then a creed has been written up called the Athanasian Creed, as we can find it in the back of our Psalter, clearly declaring the doctrine of the Trinity and that Christ, that He is the natural and eternal Son of God. Concerning what the instructors have written, it is confirmed, attested by the Father in Matthew 3, the verses 16 and 17, when Christ was baptized, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Christ has attested to the same. He has spoken of His Father's business, of His Father's word, of His Father's sovereign good pleasure, of His Father's house, of His Father's day. It was attested by the church, all with Peter, in Matthew 16, verse 16, when Christ is asked, "But who sayest thou that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," has even been attested to by the devils, as we read in Matthew 8, verse 29, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" And now concerning that term, the only begotten Son, we have sung together from Psalm 2, where there is written of that degree, "Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee." That is the day of eternity. And that term, the only begotten Son, we find 6 times in the New Testament. And in the book of John, 2 times in John 1, think of verse 14, "The Word was made flesh, and we beheld Him, the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth." We have read together out of John 3, and there we find that term 2 times, that well-known text out of John 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." And now concerning that term, cannot be fathomed, cannot be understood. We have not a doctrine that can be reasoned out, that can be understood by finite man. But it is a doctrine that must be believed. Elihu has said in Job 36, verse 26, "God is great and we know Him not." And our fathers, they have been very careful when they have spoken of these matters, of that term, the only begotten Son of the Father, then all human reasoning must be placed aside. We read thereof in John 5, verse 16, "For as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given it to the Son to have life in Himself." And in Hebrews 1, verse 3, "Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, And it is clearly declared in God's Word that the divinity of the Son of God, first placed by His name. Just think of Isaiah 9 verse 6. For unto us a son is given, a child is born, the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. The same honor is ascribed to the Son. Think of our baptism, baptized in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Concerning this, the attributes, then we only mention the attribute of eternity, where we have mentioned Proverbs 8, verse 23. And then concerning His works, in John 5, verse 17, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Thus, clearly declared and proven in God's Word, that Christ, the natural, eternal Son of God. Newer translations that are based upon other manuscripts, that in many places the deity of Christ, His divinity, that is left out or in subtle ways covered up. Thus then we see the necessity that we say with our King James Version, our second thought, the adopted children of God. But we are children adopted of God by grace for His sake. We have heard out of John 3, those verily, 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 I say unto thee, except the man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. We need to experience that new birth, and because we have also read it out of John 3, not only to be born again, but those further leadings, Christ is stressed to Nicodemus when he has come in the night, when Nicodemus had many questions, and when he has come to the Master, then Christ does not only stress the new birth, but a further knowledge, because we have heard it out of verse 14 and 15, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And now the instructors, oh, each time by renewal, when they have the opportunity, then they are given to extol the free and sovereign grace of God, because they have said, by grace, for His sake. Thus the instructors, thus you hear, boys and girls, Christ is the only natural Son of the Father. But God's people, they are adopted children. And then when we think of adopted children, oh, we have heard of that new birth. But in our Lord's day, then there is spoken of the children of God that are adopted. And when we think of adopted children, then we can draw many lines to the experience of the true children of God. Concerning adoption, That is the choice of parents. And I read in John 15, verse 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, that you may bring forth fruit. Many a times, then those adopted children, they come from a very far country. Oh, so we read in the scriptures of a people that come from the end of the earth many times. To adopt, that is a costly process, but by dollars, by gold and silver. But our instructor saith, spoken not by gold and silver, but by the precious blood of Christ. And then we read concerning that adoption of those children in Galatians 5 verse 4, to redeem that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of children. And in 2 Corinthians 6, the verses 17 and 18, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And now we read in Matthew 18, verse 3, except we become as a little child, we cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. But in this Lord's day there is spoken of the adoption of children. And now most, not all, those elderly ones, most, usually children, are adopted when they are young. Still possible when we are old. And therefore, older ones, beg the Lord, tell the Lord how old you have become, and that you have heard this evening out of John 3 what is necessary, that it may please the Lord to adopt you, that you may receive, oh, it is late, but not too late, to receive a place in the family of God, and that you may still have a little time to tell your fellow man, your family circle, of the wonderful works of the Lord. Concerning adoption, we read that term different times in the Bible. Then they tell us in the Greek language, then it has reference to a judicial term. And now concerning an adopted child, when they may come into a new family, and they may receive love, care, other brothers and sisters, then they are happy, then they are glad. But it cannot be different than that adopted children that many times they have an inferior complex. We read that of Ruth when she was given to speak to Boaz, being a handmaiden. But then she is quickly added, although I am not as the other handmaidens. Oh, surely, when children are adopted and they receive so much love and so much care, then it is their desire and their hope even to do much better than those other brothers and sisters, to obey and never to grieve. But the true adopted children, by the further uncovering work of the Spirit, are then many times discouraged and disappointed with themselves, with receiving so much love and so much care, and then still disobedient, still grieving parents, then surely can be the fear, because many adopted children, boys and girls, appreciate your parents. Many orphans upon the world, no parents in orphanages, many difficult circumstances. But now for those spiritual adopted children, they can be filled with many fears. And then when they become a little older, then it cannot be different, that they desire to know that they are adopted and legally that it is all in order. And then it can even be, because in many countries with adoption, then to receive the final papers, then such a father and mother is called to go to court before the judge, and where he officially pronounces that a father and mother has legally adopted this child, and to receive official papers. And then it can be, maybe there are souls that are thinking along. Because when we are born again and adopted to be a true child of God, then we are given to experience many special and many blessed matters. But what do those souls now desire? Oh, when it is lively, when it is good, then it is good. But when they learn more of their sinful nature and how that they spoil everything by renewal, that they sin against so much goodness, so much mercy, and so much care, then what a fear can arise in their heart. And then such a soul needs and desires those further leadings. We have spoken that word adoption. And when we read that word in the Bible, in the context, in Romans 8 and Galatians 4, then it speaks of the further leadings of the witnessing of the Spirit, that the child of God may say, Abba, Father. And in Galatians 4, then it speaks of a servant and of a son. Thus then such a soul cannot be different for an adopted child, that when they become older, that they say, Father and Mother, is it now legally all in order? Do you now have the paperwork sealed by the courthouse that I am thy child? There are souls that understand it. The Apostle Peter has exhorted the church in 2 Peter 3 verse 18 to grow in the knowledge, in the grace, and the knowledge of the Lord, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now concerning adopted children, that becomes evident in their life. Then they receive a new family. I read in Psalm 119, verse 63, I am a companion of all those that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. Same thing with the flock of birds. Then they seek each other out. Then those adopted children, then they are given to learn the language of that family. And that is the language of Canaan. What is that, boys and girls? That is the language of the experience of a child of God. Adopted children. But we are children adopted of God by grace for His sake. Has that now taken place, congregation? It needs to take place. We are traveling to eternity. Has that now taken place? Because you can find the marks of those adopted children in the Bible, those marks of grace. God's Word that either excludes or includes. And those adopted children in many different ways. Then they start to resemble their brothers and sisters in their walk and in their talk concerning those adopted children. Then the father and mother also includes them in their will concerning the spiritual children, concerning that inheritance that fadeth not away. Let us first sing. Psalter 238, the three stanzas. As Zion founded on the mountains, God thy Maker loves thee well. He has chosen thee most precious. He delights in thee to dwell. And what follows? Psalter 238, the three stanzas. of faith in the only begotten Son, our Lord. The natural Son of God, the adopted children of God, and now thirdly, the ruled children of God. Wherefore callest them Him our Lord? When we speak of those adopted children, then they are children by election, chosen in the never begun eternity. And who they are, that belongs to the secret things of the Lord. And that it is our calling and our duty to place ourselves where the Lord adopts those children, that is under the means of grace, that is especially in the house of God. In the second place, then the church has been given unto Christ as a gift from the Father, as we read in Psalm 2, verse 8. And then Christ, He has purchased that church by a great price. Our instructors have said, wherefore callest Him our Lord? Answer, because He hath redeemed us, both soul and body, from all our sins, not with gold or silver, but with His precious blood, and hath delivered us from all the power of the devil, and thus has made us His own property. Thus further, in the fourth place, then they can say our Lord, because they have been regenerated, they have been born again. In the fifth place, in the way of choice, and then we speak of that true saving faith, as we have heard out of John 3, O young and old, let there be no rest outside of a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God, because we read in John 17, verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou wast sent. Thus, when we read that name, our Lord, then we may speak of citizenship. And when an older one, when he moves to another country, and he desires to become a full citizen, then they shall lay clearly out before you the blessings, the privileges of that citizenship, but also the responsibility to become a citizen of a certain country. And now the instructors, they have spoken of those blessings. And when we read this answer, what does it remind us of? This answer, because He hath redeemed us, both soul and body, from all our sins, not with gold or silver, but with His precious blood, and hath delivered us from all the power of the devil, and thus has made us His own property, especially that last phrase, and thus hath made us His own property. What does that remind us of? Have we heard it in the catechism before? And when we hear it by renewal, then we do well to examine each our hearts. how the case stands between the Lord and our soul, because we have heard similar things in the first Lord's Day. What is thy only comfort in life and death? And the answer, that I was body and soul, both in life and death, and not my own. There we hear of that property. But belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood hath fully satisfied for all my sins and delivered me from all the power of the devil. Thus do you hear it. That in this Lord's Day, that the instructor, he brings us back to the first Lord's Day, that we may examine ourselves and so preserve me, that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head, yea, that all things must be subservient to my salvation, and therefore by his Holy Spirit he also assures me of eternal life and makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto him. Thus when we read this answer, then in Lord's Day number 13, then we are called to examine ourselves how it is concerning that only comfort in life and death, whether we are still for our own account or whether we have come for the account of another. Thus the question is, have we now been born again? And also the question concerning the further leadings. Oh, the blessing when Christ may become our Lord. Desire, choice, but also concerning the further leadings. Think of a Thomas, so discouraged, so downcast, seemed that everything has come to an end. But in Christ as his Lord, because he shall never forsake that true work, he shall remember his child, how deep the way may go, because he has engraven them upon the palms of his hand. And then 8 days after the resurrection, when Christ was given to show those pierced hands, that pierced side, his priestly office, then Thomas may say, by true saving faith in the way of assurance, my Lord and my God hath made us his own property. All blessed people, to be under his grace, under his care, under his teaching, under his provision, included in the promises concerning the Church of Jesus Christ, our Lord. But then it also becomes evident when the Lord becomes our Lord, that grace shall be seen, although it is a hidden work and at the beginning, then that people can have so many questions and so many riddles. But they have made that good choice, all in secret. And at the Lord's time, it shall be more public. And then it becomes evident, all that bowing, that they cannot bow enough. They have the desire that their Lord may be lifted up, may be extolled, the vehement desire that all people, young and old, that they may be wrought upon by the grace of God to become an adopted child, whoever they are, and that they may be given to experience the wonderful things of the Lord and the further leadings, because in this answer there is spoken of those further leadings, that the child may be led into the passion of the Lord Jesus Christ, not with gold or silver, but with his precious blood. Then it shall be in the way of obedience, because they read in 1 Samuel 15, verse 22, to obey is better than sacrifice. Ah, then there shall be a denying of their own will. Then they are willing to sacrifice. It shall be a dependent life. Ah, they shall learn that it is all, and that is learned more and more, what the instructors have also emphasized in this Lord's Day, that it is by grace and for his sake. Oh, the privilege, the blessing, when the child may live out of him, through him, and to him, to need that precious Savior as their prophet, that they may learn more of him as priest and as king, young and old. The question by renewal, what is thy only comfort in life and in death? It's the most important question in her whole life. That shall be the most important question at the end of her life. Whether we have experienced the wonderful things of God. Oh, my unconverted fellow travelers, tell the Lord of what you have heard. And that the Lord, that the King, is still gathering this church, and to beg him, oh Lord, not deserved it, no rights, my sins are great, but wilt thou look down upon me in mercy, that I may be included in that family. Oh, when that takes place, then we become so jealous of those adopted children. And then the prayers are multiplied. The Lord has promised to work from generation to generation. And people of God, when we have spoken of that word adoption, and as it is implied in the scriptures, then it speaks of that evidence and that assurance which the Spirit grants to his child, and the child given to embrace it by true saving faith. And now concerning who are the true adopted children, then Christ has said to the multitude in Matthew 12, verse 49, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, at the end of this service, then we may humbly thank thee for another Lord's Day, yet a few words to speak. May it be accompanied by thy Spirit, that in this day sons and daughters may be born in Zion, and that thy children may be led further. Thou wast given that we may commence in other week, and then it behooves us at the beginning of another week that we humbly beg of thee, that thou may care for us, provide, protect, remember the mothers in the home, remember on the way grand traveling mercies, remember at work, remember at school, remember our young people who are studying in institutions of higher learning. Wilt thou graciously watch over them? Lord, then by renewal, then we commend the classes meeting. Wilt thou grant thy help? Wilt thou grant thy blessing? Wilt thou grant Aaron's and hers? Wilt thou keep us from harm and danger? Wilt thou keep us from sin and temptation? Bring us now safely to our dwellings. May we be given to examine each of our hearts, whether we are included by thy free and sovereign grace, by that little word we, when we are still excluded. May we be given to cry mightily unto thee, those that have received the hope. Wilt thou confirm it each time by renewal? Wilt thou grant those further leadings of the adoption of children? May we be given to experience thy good care and protection also during the night watches, that we may be refreshed body and mind, and that in the day of tomorrow we may receive strength, courage, and joy in our labors with an eye upon thee. Wilt thou pardon us of all of our sins? Also in speaking and listening, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 351, the two stanzas. To thee, O Lord, I lift my eyes, O thou enthroned above the skies. As servants watch their master's hand, or maidens by their mistress' stand, so to the Lord our eyes we raise. And what follows, 351, the two stanzas. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.